Amateur genealogy is having a moment. Websites like Ancestry.com and genetic testing companies like 23andMe have exploded in popularity in recent years and have led to whole communities of people researching their families' pasts. Maude Newton explores our obsession with parsing our roots in an article called America's Ancestry Craze that's in the June issue of Harper's Magazine. And I'm pleased to welcome her to our show today.
Huh? I'm pleased to be here.
We'd also like to hear our listeners' thoughts on this. Are you an amateur genealogist? Have you researched your family tree? And if so, why? And what have you discovered? Well, give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Maude, you write that you never expected to become interested in genealogy.
No, I didn't. I was always interested in my mother's very colorful stories about her family. As I mentioned in the piece, her father was married 13 times to 12 women.
Wow.
Yes. His father killed a man with a hay hook, and through my research, I've discovered that he was actually the good guy in that scenario. And so I was always interested in her stories, but I didn't really connect them to the sort of more, to the genealogical aspect of things, to the research, to the digging in old boxes and digging through old records.
And what changed?
Well, I think a variety of things changed. For one thing, as I mentioned in the piece, one day on a lark, put in my mother's 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 name into Google, and a whole family tree came up stretching back to Northampton, Massachusetts, to the era even before the Salem witch trials. And looking up these ancestors, I discovered that the man, Joseph Cornett Parsons, had actually founded the town of Northampton, Massachusetts. And his wife, Mary Parsons, was accused of being a witch before the witch trials. And that was a really fascinating discovery for me for several reasons, but partly just because I had always thought my family was Southern on both sides.
Well, there is a Southern side to this story, which we'll get to in a moment. But did that confirm any things about your own way of seeing the world?
Well, the interesting...
Do you see any witches in...
Well, the interesting thing to me is that my mother rather suddenly, and I mentioned this in the article too, when I was a child, she had a feverish conversion to Christianity and to a quite feverish version of Christianity. She believed in demons. She believed in angels. She claimed to see them. She started a church in our living room. And having never encountered any spirits myself and being by nature a pretty agnostic person, I was fascinated to discover that this ancestor of mine was said to have spoken with supernatural beings.
You said that your mother told some pretty colorful stories, and many of us have heard our family histories from older relatives, but there's always a chance that they may have embellished certain facts, forgotten or omitted others, or even fudged the facts. I have no way of finding out whether this is true or not, but my mother used to claim that her father said he was a distant relative of the Kaiser during World War I. And that was the reason that he was supporting the German cause in Boston when everybody else, of course, was opposed, and it ruined his business.
That's fascinating.
And but there's no way. I don't think there's any way I can find out. And I'm not sure I want to.
Well, that's a different question. I think, as I discuss in the piece, DNA-based genealogy does provide opportunities to
confirm. So I have
confirm...
to find some German royal.
Well, if you were, and I'm not necessarily advising this. I think there are a lot of privacy issues surrounding these databases that I have entered my DNA into. But if you were to want to try to figure out whether you actually are distantly related to the Kaiser, you would take one of these tests and you would spend an inordinate amount of time meeting distant relatives and trying to confirm this.
Can't discovering the truth turn out to be unpleasant for some people?
Absolutely. It's certainly been unpleasant for me in various ways. As I discuss in the piece, my father was always extremely racist when I was growing up, and his family, they're from the Mississippi Delta. They were quite proud of their plantation heritage, and they, you know, my family going back some generations owned slaves. And I took the test in part to, you know, I had read about people discovering that they had distant relatives who were descended from their slave-owning ancestors who were predominantly African-American, these relatives, and I discovered the same in my research.
Your father even seemed a little ambivalent about whether slavery had been a good thing, but he was interested in eugenics as well, wasn't he?
He was, and I would say actually he was not ambivalent as to whether slavery was a good thing. He felt that it had been a good thing. And, you know, he really tried to indoctrinate my sister and me in this notion. And we were growing up in Miami, and our reality simply didn't map onto that. But yes, so he was very interested in eugenics. He felt he subscribed to Oliver Wendell Holmes's notion that three generations of imbeciles are enough. And so his intolerance reached beyond African Americans to really any group of people, ultimately including my sister and me, who did not meet his expectations and were not a perfect.
So did he want to have you sterilized?
I don't know. I don't speak with him. I'm sure that he would like for me to be quiet.
Our number, if you don't want to be quiet, I'm talking about our audience, is 212-433-9692. We have a call from Pamela. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, yeah, it's funny because I started to research my genealogy and history about 2-3 years ago. And the two things I found
What got you going?
I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I see my parents aging, maybe. And I wanted to find more about them just because they're aging, perhaps. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But, yeah, so I actually found out, because I did do the genetic testing, I did it for myself, my husband, and my three girls. And my three girls were adopted, so that was kind of interesting anyway. They were adopted from Russia. And I found out that even though my last name was McHugh, the way my DNA came down was I was more actually Eastern European Jewish than I am Irish, which I thought was hilarious.
And you had no idea?
Well, you know, a family member had said that they thought that my last name, my mother's last name of Pepe, had been maybe perhaps Spanish pepper farmers who were Jewish. So it wasn't a complete shock, although go ask some of my relatives and they probably deny that.
And your parents had given you no inkling of this?
No, they had no idea, no, absolutely not. And so I thought that was very interesting. And then apparently I was able to go back, which I found I was so proud of myself, going back to my third great-grandfather. I actually found documents.
They were getting some kind of, it sounds like you're in a hospital emergency room.
Oh, sorry, I'm parking.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. And I suspect there are a fair number of people who discover surprising things like that.
Oh, absolutely. The genetic genealogist I mentioned in the piece, C.C. Moore, discovered that she has a significant percentage of Ashkenazi ancestry. And as I also mentioned in the piece, her brother-in-law discovered that he is descended from Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And the thing that I find so fascinating about that,
I think everybody was descended from Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings.
It does seem that way sometimes. And certainly the pedigreed ancestors would dispute that. But Yes. So, and one of the fascinating things about that story to me is that her brother-in-law had had this affinity for Jefferson's home and had visited it multiple times over the years. And his daughter actually fainted the first time they took her there.
And there's a feeling that's a kind of linked to superstition, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think that's part of what draws me to this.
Because we see fate related to our ancestry?
I think that for me, that's a real tension, you know, and I think for many of us, on the one hand, we have this urge to look back into history, to discern the facts, to look at this scientifically. But then we're also trying to find out about ourselves.
And give our lives some meaning that goes beyond us.
Exactly.
We are going to take a little break. And when we come back, well, maybe I'll read something that a listener wrote in. And then we'll go to that break. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. A listener wrote in to say, I moved to New York 5 years ago and discovered that my Italian great-grandmother grew up with 12 brothers and sisters on Bleecker Street, not far from where I live now. The discovery changed my whole perception of the neighborhood, and that I often find myself wondering what she would make of my radically different life today. That's part of genealogy as well, trying to compare ourselves to our dead relatives and also wonder why we turned out the way that we did. I'm sure you think about that a lot when you're thinking about your father's attitudes about race.
I do. I think about it so much, and I think part of my compulsion to explore this is to try to understand that. And my husband, rather, had a similar experience. He discovered that an ancestor of his had moved here in the 1500s and was a silk weaver. And he and his brothers are incredibly talented with art and with their hands. And we found another ancestor of his who was a Civil War photographer. And he's a photographer, my husband. So that was this interesting echo.
We always wonder if it's in the genes.
Absolutely.
We'll take a little break and come back with your calls and what you've written into our show page at WNYC.org or to Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate, as we continue this conversation with Maude Newton, who wrote an article called America's Ancestry Craze that's in the June issue of Harper's Magazine. We're back with Maude Newton, who wrote an article about a growing obsession in this country with finding our roots. It's called America's Ancestry Craze. It's in the June issue of Harper's Magazine, and we are inviting your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Now, Sir Isaac Newton, I don't know, are there a lot of Newtons in the world?
Well, actually, my aunt and my uncle were in England once, and someone said to my uncle, oh, Howorth, that's quite a distinguished old English name. And my aunt threw her name, her surname, maiden name into the ring and said, well, what about Newton? And they said, oh, well, you know, the Newtons were always just sort of moving on to a new town. And the implication was that perhaps the relocations weren't exactly voluntary in every case.
Now, I'm assuming that one of the reasons we're seeing this growing trend is because you can Google your family name, but also now new technologies.
Absolutely. Ancestry.com and similar sites have made it so easy to find ancestors, relatively recent ancestors in the census, and then to go back from there to find all kinds of documents, draft records, from the 1800s, you can find land documents, you can find all kinds of things. And then in situations involving people who are adopted or people who are descendants of people who were enslaved in the South or people who are descendants of Holocaust survivors, DNA resources are turning out to answer a lot of questions for them.
Hasn't the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, been a good source of information?
The Mormons actually founded the precursor to Ancestry.com. And so that vast repository of information originally came from the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And it's a separate organization now, but it seems to me that there's still a lot of interconnection between the business and the church.
You write that you have 10,000 possible matches on Ancestry.com. What does that mean?
That means that these are all people to whom I could very well be related. They could be my third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh cousins. They could be more distant than that. I have slightly fewer on 23andMe, which is another service I've used, which is purely DNA-based. And just to back up for a moment, when I say I have those matches on Ancestry.com, that's on their DNA-based service.
You have to spit in a tube and mail it in?
You do. You spit in a tube and you mail it in, and you can't mail it from New York State, actually. You have to take it outside of New York to mail it in.
And why is that? Can male spit in New York?
New York is not on board with these new technologies. And there are many reasons to be wary.
Well, you could have some illness that you're
absolutely
transmitting.
You put your and once this information is in these databases, you really don't have a whole lot of control over what happens with it.
Fred on the Upper East Side wrote in to say, I'd like to know if people tend to be more interested in their paternal line. Most of my friends seem to identify with their father's heritage rather than their mother's. As a white American gay man, I'm constantly asked, what are you? And my mother's line is never even considered.
Absolutely, and I've given a lot of thought to this. I think it's partly because of surnames. The reality is many of us inherit our father's names, and those are the names that are passed down. And I do think that there is a tendency to focus more on the male lines, although, in my own experience, my mother's family is vastly more interesting, frankly.
Well, slave owners are interesting, although not
absolutely
necessarily commendable.
Right.
Sally from Westville, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a point that there's a difference between your DNA and your genealogy. Your DNA is bits and pieces of the genealogy that you have, and I know this from personal experience. My siblings actually gave me a DNA test for my birthday a couple years ago. It showed that I have a lot of Scandinavian heritage, which is probably the Vikings that came into Scotland. But I also have proof that I am a direct descendant of Pocahontas through a Indian child that she had prior to her marriage with John Rolfe, and I am a member of the Potawatomi tribe of Virginia through that lineage. But my DNA doesn't show any American Indian. So it's just, there are two different things when you're talking about getting a DNA test. It's not going to show you everybody that you are descended from, but a genealogical research can do that.
Maud?
That's true. It will not show people you're descended from going back a number of generations, beyond a certain number of generations. One thing about DNA that geneticists say is that it can actually clear up some confusion around these stories that we have and these records that we have. Sometimes we think we're descended from people, and it turns out that we're actually not. And I'm not saying that that's the case with this caller, but that is frequently the case.
Do other countries have similar fascinations, or is this an American phenomenon?
I would say that in my somewhat limited, I'm beginning to research this much more broadly, but in my somewhat limited experience with this internationally, people in England are also incredibly fascinated, perhaps less so. I'm not really sure in Europe how fascinated people are. And I think in Germany, there's a lot of resistance to this sort of research because of the atrocities of World War II, which are still so recent.
You write about some of the forums on sites like 23andMe and Ancestry.com that's having some racist people in them. What kinds of things are they saying?
Well, as I say in the piece, one person says, oh, well, this can't be true because I can't really be related to you, someone wrote to a person in one of these forums, because we don't have brown people in our family. And another person...
Although people would be surprised by how much racial intermixing
absolutely.
There has been in the past and possibly in their own families.
And that's the thing. I mean, the DNA evidence is pretty indisputable, at least according to current science. And so if the evidence is telling you that you are 25% sub-Saharan African, or that you have relatives, close relatives, you know, second, third, fourth cousins who have this ancestry, the science is more accurate than the stories our families have told us.
You write that the ultimate goal of DNA-based genealogy is to create a universal genetic family tree.
That's correct. It's not necessarily my goal.
But why would someone see that as important?
Well, I think genetic genealogist C.C. Moore, again, as I mentioned, she's an incredibly engaging, passionate person, and she's helped a lot of people who've been adopted unravel mysteries about their backgrounds. She actually even has helped someone, or is helping someone, unravel a switched at birth situation.
I'm wondering whether Roots, Alex Haley's book, started some of this.
Absolutely. It was a major motivating factor, a major inspiration, certainly for African Americans, but beyond that.
We've been learning that these days nearly everything we do is tracked, and we create long records of our day-to-day activities on Facebook and Twitter. In the future, will genealogists be sifting through their great-great-great-grandmother's tweets and selfies?
It's entirely possible. Ancestry.com rather frighteningly has a function that allows you to plug it into Facebook so you can find people you're related to and then find them on Facebook and become Facebook friends with them.
Although what happens when a distant relative says doesn't want to click like? That's a whole other matter. Maude Newton's article, America's Ancestry Craze, is in the June issue of Harper's Magazine. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.